They've been watching him. By the way, your children are watching you when you pray. Do you know that? That's how they learn to pray. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave to them what we call erroneously the Lord's Prayer. It was never his prayer. He never prayed that prayer. It's the disciples' prayer, the model prayer that he gave them. And if you take time to study that, you'll find out that that prayer is huge. I know it only requires a few verses there in Scripture and looks very simple, but it's far beyond simple, okay? Very profound. But he talks about prayer a lot of places. And here in Luke chapter 18, he teaches them about prayer in a parable, a very unusual parable, unusual teaching, and we're going to look at it from kind of a different standpoint today, if you please. Won't you stand with me this morning, and let's read together from Luke chapter 18. You follow along as I read, please. I'm going to begin in verse 1 and go down through verse 8. Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, starting in verse number 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that's the title of the message this morning. Don't lose heart. Just don't lose heart. Sometimes we tend to give up so easy because I think a lot of it because of the very age that we live in. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he said, don't lose heart. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. This guy really didn't care about anybody but himself. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And here again, we'll look at this in some detail, but in some ways, she was probably just as selfish as the judge was. She's saying, I just want you, she knew what kind of judge he was when she came to him. She said, I just want you to get me even with those turkeys. I've been treated bad, I've been treated wrong by some folks, and I want my revenge on those people, and you can do it for me. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, kept putting her off. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. I'll get her even for her enemies, whatever the case might be. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Strange, unusual word, found nowhere else in the New Testament. Now, you may find the word weary in the English, but you don't find this Greek word anywhere else in the New Testament. It means literally to hit me in the eye. So if I don't get rid of this woman, she's going to hit me right in the eye. Now, when we get into the message, I think you'll understand why this expression is used and why it's perhaps found nowhere else. Verse number 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Now we're moving from the judge and the widow to God and his children. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, now listen closely, will he really find faith on earth? What a good question this morning. When he comes, will he really find faith in Osage Baptist Church? See, well, the Bible says earth. Well, I know, but we're part of the earth. See, okay. Will he really find faith right here? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. What an encouragement. What a help. What a blessing. God, we take for granted so often, so much, this blessed, eternal word of God. The roadmap of life. Our moment by moment instruction, not just daily or hour by hour, but moment by moment we find our instruction, our help, our hope, our direction in the eternal Word of God. Thank you for that. And then, Lord, I thank you this morning for prayer. My, what an unbelievable concept that a man can talk to God. Still, Lord, just is something I cannot get my arms around, cannot grasp fully. why you will let me talk to you. But you do, and I thank you for it. And Lord, help me not to take advantage, and certainly not to neglect this awesome, awesome, awesome miracle of prayer. Bless your word now as we've read it. Give us clear understanding of it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Don't lose heart. You know what? We don't like to wait. I went to a wedding yesterday. Great wedding. Pastor did a great job. Bride was beautiful. The groom was handsome. Everything went good. It was a wonderful wedding. But I'll tell you what, on the way down there, I ran into a roadblock. Some idiot had torn a bridge out and just put up blockade, said, you can't go this way. I said, but I need to go this way. And so I took a detour through the Missouri farmland. Very beautiful. I enjoyed it. But man, I was getting impatient. I didn't know where I was going. I don't know how long it was going to take. I was really getting nervous about all of this. Why? Because we're always in a hurry, aren't we? Always in a hurry. Always rushing. That's what made fast foods restaurants so famous, because we're always in a hurry. In fact, it's an amazing thing. We go to McDonald's almost every day. Now, that's not because of me. I don't like McDonald's. My wife needs ice cream. And so almost every day I get into Harrison and buy her some ice cream. I go ahead and eat it there because they have chocolate. Not because I want it, but it's there, and so I eat it. I don't want to make her feel bad. But oftentimes we've turned in the driveway there to McDonald's, and there'll be just one or two cars on the side where we're at, and one or two over on the other side. But there will be a double line of people going through the drive-thru. Why? Because they're in a hurry. What's so funny, I can stop, go in, eat my ice cream, come back out, and wave at those folks still sitting in line. They're hurrying up to wait. But we like ATM machines, so we don't have to wait on our money. And we like diet pills, so we don't have to wait to lose weight. And we just want to hurry, don't we? But folks, prayer is one thing we ought not to hurry through. And if this parable teaches us anything, it teaches us to be patient and persistent and be faithful. Three things. Think about that. Patience, persistence, and faith. Three things that are very often missing, aren't they? In our life and in our prayer life. Patience and persistence and faith. It also teaches us three important lessons about prayer. And that's going to be the heart of the message today. I'm going to give you these three things, and then we're going to go through them in detail. When we pray, we are not to focus on self. Try to pray for yourself. God doesn't say you can't pray for yourself. But God says don't focus on yourself. That's the worst mistake you can make, to focus on yourself. And then when we pray, we need to believe that God really cares about us. Now listen to me and think about this during the message this morning. Do you really believe that God really cares about you? Do you believe he really cares about you? I mean, this is the eternal God of the heavens caring about folks here on this earth. The third thing, when we pray, we must remember that we're never too bad for God to care about us. Never too bad. I'm going to give you some illustrations. But we're never too bad for God to care about us. Now, the thing he may care about is us getting our life right. I understand that, but he still cares about us. Even when we're in the depths of sin, God wants us to get our life right. But why? Because he cares for us. Christ had just finished teaching about the second coming and what was going to happen there and the judgment and all of this. And now he's going to encourage them about prayer. And this fits very well because the closer we get to the time he's going to come to get us, the more we need to be praying. Remember now, as we look through the story, the judge is not a type of God. Okay? This judge is not a type of God. He doesn't represent God in any way. He didn't care about anything or anybody. Okay, God loves everybody, the Bible tells us. And God cares so much that he was willing to let his son die that we might have eternal life. So this judge does not represent God. He just represents a sorry old judge. And that's all. So remember that. Neither does the widow represent us. Okay? Because you'll get this parable all messed up if you don't get those two things straight before you get into it. The judge does not represent God, and the widow does not represent us, or shouldn't represent us at all. These are just contrasts so God can teach us a lesson. Contrast so God can say, this is what it ought to be like. So God's taking this bad case scenario and saying, that's not right, here's the way it ought to be. It's just simply a contrast. Let's look at these three things, okay? But remember, as we go through this, that maybe the bottom line is in all of this. I'm going to get you to help me do something. I know you can do it. The bottom line in all of this is that God is good all the time. What's the second one? All the time, God is good. Now let's do it again. You can do better this time. God is always good. All the time. God is good all the time. Messed it up. God is good all the time. And then what? All the time, God is good. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Here's a judge that didn't regard God or man. Didn't care a thing about either one of them. But listen, folks, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, isn't he? Okay, when we pray, we're not to focus on self. Mentioned that a while ago. Let's talk about it a little bit. When we pray, we're not to focus on self. In verse 5 there, the judge only wanted to be left alone. Get this woman out of here. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to help her. I don't care a thing in the world about her. Get her out of here. He just wanted to be left alone. Not at all like God, is it? Total unconcern. He didn't want her to weary him or literally hit him in the eye. Or as I began to study this, I thought, now why did he use this word? Because as I said, it's not used anywhere else. And it's very clear meaning in the Greek, means to literally hit you in the eye. And I think what's behind all this is he's saying, I don't want this woman around me because she is going to attack my unconcern. I don't want to be bothered. And if I mess with this woman, it's going to bother me. How many times are we afraid to get involved in somebody else's life or to help somebody else because we don't want to get involved? We don't want them messing up our life. We don't want them slowing down our life. We just want to stay unconcerned. We want to stay neutral. Stay out there on the sideline. Now, let's move to the widow. She only wanted her problems solved. And I'm afraid that's the bottom line in so many of our prayers, isn't it? God, could you solve this problem for me? I remember, not a true story, just an illustration, about a fellow who got thrown in jail. And I mean, he had done a little of everything and charged with everything, and they had put him in the back cell in the back of the jail, and he's sitting back there and finally getting down on his knees, and he said, now, Lord, you know I've never prayed before, and if you get me out of this mess, I'll never bother you again. That may be how some of us pray. God, just get me out of this, and then I won't bother you again. God wants to be bothered, okay? This judge does not represent God. God wants to be bothered. The widow only wanted her problem solved. Now, listen to me. Just four simple little thoughts. Only focusing on our problems makes them bigger. Did you ever notice that? If you focus on your problems, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, don't they? And pretty soon you're laying there wide awake in the middle of the night looking at the ceiling and just watching that thing like a balloon just expand. Second thought, only focusing on ourselves creates self-pity. Self-pity is pitiful, okay? I used to tell Janice, I say, now leave me alone for a minute. Draw me a circle right here. I'm going to get right in the middle, have me a pity party, and I don't want to be bothered. Because if somebody, people can mess up your pity party, can't they? You like to just be left alone to have your pity party. Third thought, only focusing on ourselves obscures the big picture. We forget that what's going on in our little old lives in this one moment of time is so insignificant compared to the big picture that God has got of everything that's going on in our life. Folks, listen to me. It is so easy to get hung up and focusing on something that is really unimportant and miss that which really is important, which is vital, which is crucial to our life. One more thought about focusing on ourselves. Only focusing on ourselves violates the Word of God. Now, I've got a couple of scriptures up there. Well, just one up there now. We'll get some later. But 1 Timothy 2:1. He says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I'm going to go back and read that again. I want you to look at every word there because it's vitally important. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that, number one, supplications, that's praying for other people, intercessions, that's getting involved in the life of other people, interceding, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Please do not raise your hand, but how many of you have somebody in your life that you're really not thankful for? Nobody raised their hand. Oh, yeah, I told you not to, didn't I? Why? Because you know what? There's some folks in our life we're not thankful for. But God said those are the very ones you need to thank Him for. Because they're there for a purpose or they wouldn't be there. You know that? If they had no prayer, God wouldn't have them there if they didn't have a purpose. God has a purpose in everything He does. And God wants us to pray for other folks and quit focusing on self. Now, second thought here about prayer. When we pray, we need to believe God really cares about us. God really cares about us. When you pray, do you feel like, well, you know, it doesn't. I'm going to go ahead and pray because it's the right thing to do, but God really doesn't care that much about me. God really doesn't care whether this comes about or not. God's really not going to do this. You know what? He's not, if that's your attitude. It's not going to happen. We need to believe that God really cares about us. Now, let me throw out some negative things that are true in my life. I'm sure not in yours, but they are in mine. If He really cares, this wouldn't be happening. If God really cares about me, this wouldn't be I wouldn't be in this mess. If He really cared, He would have already taken care of this problem. Because He's God, and if He really cared about me, He'd have already taken care of this problem. I wouldn't have to be asking Him. If He really cares, He'd give me the ability to solve it. Wouldn't even have to ask Him. Folks, none of that is true, okay? None of that is even close to being true. What's true? Let's look at some absolute positives. Folks, He sent His Son, Jesus, to solve the biggest problem you would ever have in your life. And that's the problem of dying and going to hell. God sent His Son so you could be saved. God gave Him. I have four sons. I cannot imagine sacrificing one of my sons for any of you folks. I'm just being honest. And you're probably in the same position. Now they might be willing to sacrifice their life for, but I wouldn't be willing. I've got a grandson that just got commissioned into the Marine Corps. Many of you met him last week when he was here. I'm so proud of that boy, and I'm scared to death. Because I will never, till the day I die, forget, as a little six-year-old boy, the day two soldiers came and knocked on my mama's door. and told her my daddy was dead. I don't want that to happen to my grandson. But you know what? God gave his son for my soul, for my salvation. And you think he doesn't care about you? Good grief. Just come on, think about it. He sends his Holy Spirit to live in our sinful bodies. Now, in some ways, that's just about as big a deal. Because the Holy Spirit, now listen to me, the Holy Spirit has to see everything you see, hear everything you hear, be involved in everything you do. And he still doesn't kill you for it. Kill me for it. Boy, that's a miracle in itself. See, put yourself, if you can, and that's not easy to do, but kind of put yourself in the Holy Spirit's position. Man, I'd move out of me immediately. I'd go find somebody else living a whole lot better. I'd go find somebody that wasn't so much trouble. Stop and think about it. Does God care for you? Yeah, he sent his son. Does God care for you? Yeah, he sent his Holy Spirit. And then he left us with an absolute, unchangeable promise. In two places in the New Testament, we could find it over and over again, but these two I picked out because they're my favorites. Matthew 28:18, he said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I'm with you. And then again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, said, "For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Listen, folks, God really cares about you. Okay? He really does. Last thought this morning. When we pray, we must remember we're never too bad for God to care about us. Never too bad. Maybe bad. And that's not good, okay? It's never good to be bad. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to glorify that in any way this morning. I'm just sharing with you that I'm never too bad for God to care about me. You're never too bad for God to care about you. No one is ever too bad for God to care about them, okay? Three examples that all of you are very familiar with, just real quickly this morning. First of all, Tamar was a Gentile lady who acted like a prostitute and committed adultery, yet ended up in the lineage of Jesus Christ and was heir to Christ ultimately. Rahab, who the Bible lists as a Gentile. Now, why am I starting this way? Tamar was a Gentile. This Rahab was a Gentile. Because, folks, these were second-class citizens to begin with, okay? Rahab was a Gentile and a prostitute. Yet, what happened? The Bible says her and her full family were rescued. When the walls came down, their wall didn't come down. And they were taken to safety. Bathsheba. She was a Jewish lady, but an adulteress. Yet, all of these ladies were in the lineage of Christ, all forgiven, all used by Christ, all used by God to serve him and to carry his lineage all the way down to Jesus Christ. Same thing with the men. David, of course, and we know that story. I'm not going into any detail because these are stories you're familiar with. But David was an adulterer, a liar, a murderer. Yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because as bad as he was, God loved him and God cared for him and God used him. In marvelous ways. His name is found more times in the Bible than any other. Called a man after God's own heart. Yet an adulterer, a liar, a murderer. Not too bad for God to care about. Now I understand, and you do too. He got his life right. And he got right with God. And he got things straightened out. But the point was, he always knew and always realized that God cared about him and that he was never too bad for God to care about. And then there was Paul, a persecutor and a party to murder. There's a little verse in chapter 8, verse 1. Just a tiny little verse, easily overlooked, but it was after the martyrdom of Stephen. Remember, the Bible says that Paul literally held the cloaks of the men. They took their coats off so they could throw the rocks harder at Stephen to kill him. And that was in chapter 7. Then in chapter 8, verse 1, and said, "And Paul was consenting unto the death of Stephen." Didn't throw a rock, as far as we know, but he was standing cheering him on. "Hit him, boys! Get him, boys! Get a bigger rock!" And we know what God did in the life of Paul, don't we? Ended up writing over half the New Testament. The man who started churches all around the known world. Unbelievable. Was he too bad? No. He was bad. And I'm sure he paid a price for that. Please don't misunderstand. It is never good to do bad. It is never right to do bad. But please remember, you're never too bad for God to care about you. Peter, who walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years, slept beside him, ate beside him, prayed beside him, saw miracle after miracle, yet he denied him and cursed when he was being crucified. A denier, a deserter, terrible. Folks, listen, the bottom line here is that the major sin in our life, now listen, is failing to believe God is good and cares about you. Okay? We've got to get a hold of that. We've got to get a handle on that. God is good and he cares about me and he wants to love and help me. Remember this. Our sin is not our sins. Okay, did you hear me? Our sin is not our sins. Our sin is failing to believe in Jesus Christ and to believe that he loves us enough to save us and take care of us eternally. Are those other sins bad? Yes, but it's not those other sins that send us to hell, folks. It's not those other sins that condemn us. The sin that condemns us is our failure to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I believe, along with that, to believe that he truly cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. What a wonderful thought to go to bed at night. And just before I close my eyes, to say, "God, thank you that you care for me." Because see, I don't have to worry about anything. Had an earthquake this morning, I understand. Missed it. Sorry about that. We were on the road coming back from Harrison, so didn't feel a thing. If you did, why, it's over, so don't worry about it. But you didn't die. But I don't have to worry. Because he cares for me. He cares for me. Let me finish up by going back and just one more time reviewing these three thoughts. When we pray, now listen, when you pray, when we pray, we're not to focus on self. Worst thing you can do. Pray for yourself, yes, because I'm sure you need it, because I'm sure I need it. But don't focus on self. When we pray, believe that God really cares about us. That'll change the way you pray if you believe that God really cares about you. And just stop and think of what he did for you. When we pray, remember we're never too bad for God to care about us. No matter what, he cares. And he just wants you to be what he wants you to be. And he'll keep right on working for you and working with you, because he cares for you. Won't you stand with me this morning?